Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novick. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Ishut Perek Chaf Gimel. This perek continues to discuss the rights of a husband to the property of his wife. It begins with a question of how he can effectively relinquish any of his rights to this property in an irrevocable manner. It moves on to address how, and if at all, the husband is repaid for expenses incurred while dealing with his wife's property. Finally, the perek examines more closely the concept of the nedunya, the dowry, and the mechanism by which the two spouses, or the father of each side, obligate themselves in whatever they contribute to the nedunya at the start of the marriage. Halacha Aleph, Haisha sheitnat al ba'ala lebatel zchut midvarim shezocheh ben ha'bal, im katav la ve'oda arusa, kodem ha'nisuin, eino tzarich liknot miado, ela kol shekatav la kayam, v'im katav la achar nisuin, tzarich liknot miado. If a woman wishes to stipulate with her husband that he will not receive one or more of the monetary rights to her property that he would ordinarily receive, to her ma'aseh adayim, her metzia, or the payout of her property, we'll see a little later that Yerusha has different dinim, there are two ways this can be done. Either the stipulation can be written before the nisuin, in which case it does not require a kinyan, or it can be written after the nisuin, in which case it requires a kinyan. Once nisuin takes place, the husband's rights are considered a form of ownership, and like any owner, he must do a kinyan in order to relinquish what is already in his possession. Halacha bet. Hitna ima shelo yelo din udvarim binechaseha, im machra venatna, michra kayam ubmatnata kayemet, aval ochel perotehen calls man shein birshuta. Vim kanumi ado, keshi arusa, shein lo din udvarim binechaseha, hare silek atzmomi gufa karka, veeno binechaseha perot leolam, vafilu ir er al kinyano, vamar lo ala bedati, shein li perot mipne kinyan ze. Elashim machra michra kayam, she'en adam nose isha belo nechasim, ein shomin lo, ela kvar silek atzmo migufa karka. The next several halachot discuss specific formulations which can be used for this stipulation, and the exact meaning of each one. If the husband said only that he has no rights to her property, din udvarim ein li binechsayich, then he retains rights to the payout of this property, and to inherit it if his wife dies. So what did he give up exactly? Only his veto power over selling the property or giving it away. If his wife sells it or gives it away, then the sale or gift is valid. But the Rambam adds that if the husband made this statement while she was still an arusa and accompanied it with a kinyan, then his renunciation, or siluk, is more far-reaching, and he has no rights to payout either. Even if he later protests that he didn't mean to give up on his rights to the payout of her property, we do not listen to him, and his siluk is effective. This last din seems strange, because we read in Halacha Aleph that a kinyan is relevant only after nisuin, when the husband already owns rights in his wife's property. So why does a kinyan have any effect at all on how we interpret his statement of din udvarim ein li binechsayich when he makes it before nisuin? The Ravid indeed rejects the suggestion of the Rambam with a terse line, Kol ma shekatav kan, hakol hevel urut ruach. The Rambam's statement is nonsense and emptiness. Their debate goes back to different understandings of a cryptic exchange in the ninth parak of Masechet Ketubot, and the Rambam accepts the understanding of that Gemara advanced by the Rif and Rav Haigon. The Shulchan Aruch accepts the Rambam's opinion, but quotes that of the Ravid as Yesh Omrim. Another question debated by Rishonim is whether the husband's siluk, if done before nisuin, applies even to property which she acquires after nisuin. The Shulchan Aruch quotes two opinions about this as well. Halacha Gimel. Hitna ima shelo yochal pirot nechaseh, harei ze ino ochel pirotehem. Aval mochrinat ha-pirot v'lokchim behen karka v'u ochel piroteha. Shelo silek atzmo ela mi pirot nechasim elu bilvad. If the husband specifically stipulated that he will not eat the payrot of her property, this does not mean that he gives up on the payrot altogether. He may not eat them, but they can be treated like any other nichsei malog, which are metaltalin. We encountered several cases like this in the last parak. The perot are sold, the proceeds of the sale are used to buy land, and the husband has rights to the perot of this land. These are not considered perot of the wife's property itself, but rather peire perot, and thus are not included in the husband's siluk, in which he mentioned only perot. The Rama writes that the wife herself has the right to consume perot of her property due to the husband's siluk, and only what she leaves over is sold to purchase land as described in this halacha. Halacha Dalet. Hitna shelo yuchal perot nechaseh, velo perei peroten, lokhina perot vekonin behen karka, velokhin perot karka zo vekonin behen karka shnia. V'hu ochel perot elu, shehen perei perei perot, v'chein hadavar tamid, ad shiatne ima shelo ye lo perot, v'lo perei peroten ad olam, v'achar kach lo ye lo perot b'chayeh, aval imeta yirash hakol. Even if the husband explicates that he renounces rights even to the perei perot, the procedure of the last halacha can be done with one additional stage added. The perot are sold to purchase land. Then the perot of that land are sold to purchase some other land, and the husband has rights to the perot of that land, the perei perot of his wife's property. The only way for him to relinquish his rights to all derivative benefits of her property, no matter how many steps removed, is for him to declare that he has no rights to the perot or perei perot ad sof ha'olam. Even so, he retains the right to inherit all his wife's property if she dies before him. Halacha hei. Hitna ima shelo yirashena, harei ze lo yirashena, aval ochel perot b'chayeha, v'chenim hitna shirash miktsat nechaseha, v'chenim hitna shimeta b'lo banim yachzeru nechasim lebeit avia, hakol kayam. B'me devarim amurim, b'shihitna ima kodem shetinasei, sh'anachala haba'a lo l'adam, shelo m'mishpachto, matne alea shelo yirashena, kodem shetia ruya lo. Aval im hitna ima achar shniseit, t'na'o batel, v'yirashena kemo shebi'arnu. If the husband stipulates that he will not inherit his wife, or that he will not inherit certain property, or that the property of her nedunya will return to her father if she dies without children, then his stipulation is effective, assuming he made it before nisuin. The rule is that one may relinquish an inheritance which he is supposed to receive as long as he does so before he becomes fit to receive it, and the husband becomes fit to inherit his wife at the moment of nisuin. As we saw in Perek Yud Bet, his stipulation is ineffective after Nisuin altogether, even with a kinyan. All the husband can do after Nisuin, the Rambam concludes in Halacha Zayin, is to relinquish his rights to Perot and Perei Perot, etc., ad sof ha'olam if he wishes. But if his wife dies, he inherits her. And even the siluk from Perot must be accompanied by a kinyan when done after Nisuin, as the Rambam wrote in Halacha Aleph, and as the Ravid points out in his Asaga here. At the end of his Asaga on Halacha Zayin, the Ravid explains why the husband may relinquish Yerushat HaBaal before Nisuin, and his words echo earlier Hasagot of his in the last Perek and in Perek Yud Bet about the nature of Yerusha. He emphasizes that there is no kinyan here, because Yerusha only occurs in the future, after the death of the wife. The way a husband relinquishes this right is through a t'nai sheba mamon. He only agrees to the nisuin with the stipulation that he will not inherit his wife. The Rambam also uses the word matne in Halacha Vav to describe the husband's siluk, but he seems to mean it differently from the Ravid, because in Perek Yud Bet Halacha Tet, the Rambam wrote explicitly that Yerusha is not considered a t'nai sheba mamon. We won't expand further on this point, but it seems that here too, the Rambam and Ravid debate the nature of inheritance, as we saw twice before. The application here is how to understand the efficacy of the husband's siluk from Yerusha when it is done before nisuin. Halacha chet. Habal shehotzi hotzaot al nichsei melog, bein shehotzi ma'at v'ochel perot harbe, bein shehotzi harbe v'ochel perot ma'at, afilu achal grogeret achat derech kavod, o sheachal dinar echad, afilu shelo derech kavod, v'afilu lo lakach v'perot ma shehotzi ela chavila shel zmorot, ma shehotzi hotzi, u'ma sheachal achal. The perek moves now to the case of a husband who spends money on improving his wife's nichsei melog. If he eventually divorces his wife and the property returns to her, may he demand compensation for his expenses? The answer in general is no. He has rights to the payout of the Nechsei Malog for as long as he is married, and the purpose of his investment is to increase the quantity and quality of these payout. So his compensation should come in the form of more valuable payout. But even if this doesn't happen, and the property produces very little payout, he does not receive any additional compensation. Similarly, Halacha Tet continues, if his wife receives a large sum of money in a distant location as Nechsei Malog, and the husband spends a lot of money just to transport that money from there in order to buy land with it and consume the payout, he may not demand when they divorce any compensation for transporting the money. But this assumes that he had consumed a minimal quantity of payrot as delineated in Halacha Chet, even one fig eaten in a respectable manner, or a dinar's worth of food eaten in any manner at all, or enough payrot to purchase a bundle of vine branches as animal food. The second half of Halacha Tet explains what happens if he didn't manage to consume even this minimal amount of payrot. Hotzi velo achal. Osh achal pachot mikashiur, shamin kama hishbiach, v'shalin oto kama hutzi. Ima shevach yater al ha'otza'a, yishava b'nikitat chefetz kama hutzi, v'notel ha'otza'a. V'ima ha'otza'a yater al ha'shevach, ein lo min ha'otza'a, ela kishiur ha'shevach, uvishvua. If the husband did not get even this minimal amount of payrot, then we treat the case like other situations in which one person spends money improving the property of another person. The rule is that he gets reimbursed in the smaller of the two amounts, how much he spent, the hotza'a, and how much the property went up in value as a result of his expenditures, the shevach. If he spent little, but produced a large shevach, he only gets back what he spent. If he spent a lot, but this generated only a small shevach, he is only compensated in the amount of the shevach. In either case, the husband must take a shvua before getting any compensation. Halacha Yud. B'medvarim amurim, bimgaresh, aval haisha shemarda al bala, afilu achal harbe, shamin lo kama achal, upochatin oto mimashira ui liten lo min hautza'a achar shi shava, venot lo, shalo hiknala kadesha titol vetetse meatzma. V'chein hamutzia utzaot al nechse ishto ktana umeana, roin kama achal, v'kama hotzi, v'kama ishviach, v'shamin lo karis, share birshut yarad. As we explained, the last two halachot refer to a situation in which a husband divorces his wife and wants to be compensated for his expenditures. Because he initiates the divorce, he does not get compensated as long as he consumed the minimal shear of payrot given in Halacha Chet. But if the divorce is forced upon him against his will, then he is compensated even if he consumed a large amount of payrot. This can happen if his wife is moredet against him, a situation we learned about in Perek Yudalid, or if his marriage is kiddushei miyun, to an orphan katana, who ends the marriage unilaterally by performing miyun. Halacha Yud Aleph. Minhagot rabot yesh banedunya. Yesh mekomot shenagu shiyichtevu bichtuba anedunya beyeter al dameha. Bishlish o bachamish o bemechetza. Kegon shiti anedunya mea. V'chotvin shichnisa lo mea v'chamishim. Kdei laharbot bifnei ha'am. Uchisha tavo ligbot, lo tigbe ele ha'mea. V'yesh mekomot shenagu lichtov bepachot. V'im paska lo hotzi lo bemea kelim. Noten et shave mea v'esrim o mea v'chamishim. V'chotvin shichnisa lo mea. V'yesh mekomot shenagu lichtov shave b'shave. V'yesh mekomot shenagu shiten ha'ish ma'ot lefi ha'nedunya davar katsuv shetitkashet bo hakala v'dikne bo besamim v'chayotzei behen. V'yesh mekomot shiachnis ha'ish shum mishalo la'isha yitzdaref l'nedunyata litna'ot bo. Most of the remainder of the perek discusses the nedunya and the manner in which each spouse, or the father of each spouse, obligates himself to provide it. The amount of the nedunya is written in the text of the ketubah, but there are many customs about how the written amount relates to the amount that was actually promised by the wife's family. Some have the custom to write an inflated sum in the ketubah, just for purposes of public display, by adding a fixed percentage to the actual nedunya, anywhere from 20% to 50%. Obviously, this inflation is taken into account when the time comes to collect the nedunya. Other places do just the opposite. The amount written in the ketubah is smaller than the actual nedunya, again by some fixed percentage. And of course, there are places where the amount written in the ketubah is exactly the amount of the nedunya with no adjustment in either direction. Some places have the custom that aside from the nedunya provided by the father of the wife, the husband himself adds a certain amount, either to provide her with extra jewelry or just to increase the total value of the nedunya. Halacha Yud Bet explains that when a husband and wife marry with no stipulation to the contrary, the assumption is that they are following local custom, both in how much the nedunya is and how much to write in the text of the ketubah. Halacha Yud Gemel. Ish v'isha shayu b'nehen shiduchim, v'amar la, kama at machneset li, kach v'kach, v'amra lo, v'kama ata noten li, o kotev li, kach v'kach, v'chein ha'av, shapasak aide b'no uvito, kama ata noten li b'incha, kach v'kach, v'kama ata noten li b'itcha, kach v'kach, v'amdu v'kitchu, kanu otan hadvarim, v'af al pishalo haya b'nehen kinyan mi'adam, v'elu ein hadvarim sheniknin ba'amira. The kinyan on the nedunya can be accomplished in some cases just by speaking, without any need for a ma'aseh kinyan. If a man and woman agree fundamentally to marry, this is the original meaning of the word shiduch, appearing at the beginning of the halacha, and in the prelude to kiddushin, they discuss these monetary arrangements. He asks her, "How much are you bringing to the marriage?" And she answers. She asks him, "How much are you giving me when we marry?" And he answers. Or similarly, if the fathers of the bride and groom ask each other these questions and provide answers, then the amounts which are agreed upon become binding once the kiddushin are done, without the need for any additional act of kinyan. This is a rare case in which a kinyan can be done just by speech, amira, without any action at all. But Halacha Yud Dalid clarifies that this only works in certain cases. Bamedvrim amurim, b'shepasaka av levito, bein gedola bein ketana, Ufasaka av haacher livno, uvenisuim rishonim, shidato shel adam krova eitzel bano, umeirov simchato banisuin harishonim, gamar umaknelo bamira. Aval ach shepasak lachoto, o isha shepaska levita, vechen shaar krovim, o haav shepasak livno, o levito benisuim shniim, lo kanu otan advarim, ad shiknu midea posek shenatan kach vekach. There are two conditions under which the kinyan of the nedunya can be completed with speech alone. One, the person providing the nedunya, if not the groom himself or the bride herself, must be the father of either spouse, and not some other relative like a mother or brother. And two, this must be a first marriage. The Rambam seems to mean that it must be the first marriage of whichever spouse is the child of the father providing the nedunya. Only in the combination of these circumstances, the father giving the nedunya in a situation of nisuim rishonim, is the simcha so intense that there is a very strong gemirut dat, a resolute decision to carry out the transfer of the nedunya, which suffices as a form of kinyan even without any accompanying action. The Rama writes that if the husband and wife themselves provide the nedunya, not the fathers, like in the beginning of Halacha Yud Gimel, kama at machneset li and kama ata noten li, then the kinyan amira is effective even if this isn't the first marriage for either spouse. Halacha tetvav. Ha'av shepasak aide bito, lo kana tabata matana ad shichnos ota bala. V'chin ha'ben lo kana ad shichnos. Shakol ha'posek eino posek ela almanat lichnos. Lefichach, ha'posek ma'ot lachatano, umeit kodem shichnos, v'nafla lifnei achiv li'ibum, yachol ha'av lomar li'avam, la'achicha ha'iti rotze li'ten, lecha eini rotze li'ten, v'afilu haya ha'rishon am ha'aretz, v'asheni chacham, v'af al pi sha'abat rotzabo. Even when the kinyan on the nedunya is sealed through speech alone, the kinyan only takes effect at the moment of nisuin, because the entire intent of the donor was for the nedunya to benefit the married couple as they live together. Therefore, if the father of the bride commits to a certain nedunya, and the husband dies before nisuin, leaving the wife to perform yibum with his brother, the father may retract his commitment. He can explain to the yavam that he only meant to give the nedunya to his brother, not to him. This is true even if the yavam is a much greater talmid chacham than his brother was, and even if the wife wishes to marry him. The Shulchan Aruch records an opinion that the father may not retract in a case of Yibum if he donated the Nedunya in advance of the Kiddushin to the deceased brother, because the Yibum is only possible due to those Kiddushin, and so the Kiddushin remain in effect, and therefore so does the father's commitment. Halacha Tet Zayin. Haposek ma'ot lachatano v'halach ha'av limdina acheret yichola hi lomar labal ani lo basakti al atzmi mani yichola lasot o kenos below nedunya o patreni beget avalim paska hi al atzma v'lo higia yada harei zo yoshevet ad shetimtza ma shepaska o ad shetamut. Suppose that the father of the bride agrees to a certain nedunya, and then he leaves town after kiddushin without providing the money. Interestingly, the phrase used in the Mishnah in Masechet Ketubot describing the father's delinquency is pashat et haregel, literally meaning he extended his leg. Most Rishonim understand this phrase to mean that the father lost his money and therefore cannot fulfill his pledge, and the term for bankruptcy in modern Hebrew is pashat et haregel, based on this Mishnah. But the Rambam understands the phrase differently, to refer to the father leaving town. The wife can point out to her husband that she is not at fault, and therefore he is not justified in keeping her waiting for Nisuin indefinitely. Rather, the husband must either marry her without the promised Nedunya, or give her a get so she can marry someone else. But if the wife herself, not her father, committed to the Nedunya and then could not come up with the money, the husband may push off Nisuin indefinitely until she can provide the money, and he never needs to divorce her. The end of the halacha clarifies that the husband may only do this if the wife is a gedola, but if she is a ketana, then he must choose between nisuin without a nedunya or divorcing her so she can marry someone else. Continuing in halacha Tet Zayin, v'lama lo tiftor atzma b'mardut shamoredet k'shi arusa habal rotze lechonsa v'hi eina rotza aval zo ein habal rotze ba ar shetiten hanedunya shepaska. It would seem that the wife who commits to her own nedunya and then can't come up with the money should be able to force her husband to divorce her, as she should be no worse than the wife who says, "Mi istiu, I hate my husband and cannot continue to live with him." This is one type of moredet, and we saw in Perek Yudalid, in the opinion of the Rambam, against most other Rishonim, that Beit Din forces the husband to divorce her in this case. The Rif believes that this woman, too, should have the same prerogative, but the Rambam explains here why he disagrees. The Moredet is a special case of a woman who genuinely detests her husband. The woman in our halacha, on the other hand, very much wants to proceed to Nisuin with her husband, and it is he who is holding things up because she did not live up to her Nedunya commitment, so she has no choice but to find a way to keep her promise. Halacha Yud Zayin. Hanoseya Taisha upaska imoshia zanet bita kach vekach shanim, chayav lizuna otan shanim shikibel alatsmo, vahu shiatnu al davar ze bishat kiddushin, aval shalo bishat kiddushin ad shiknu miado o shiktov bishtar bechayotsebo, kamoshi baer bihlchot mekach umemkar. Suppose a man marries a woman who has a daughter from a previous marriage, and as part of their Nedunya agreements before Kiddushin, the husband commits to providing this daughter with mizonot for a certain number of years. Then he is obligated to provide the daughter with mizonot for as long as he agreed to. But this commitment is binding through Amira alone, only if it was made before the Kiddushin, as we discussed in Halach Yudalid regarding the Nedunya arrangements in general. If he makes the commitment at any other point, earlier or later, then it is binding only if he does a kinyan or writes a shtar obligating himself to do this. Continuing in Halach Yud Zayin, Nitgarsha betoch hashanim shekibel al atzmo lazun et bita, v'niseit lacher, ufaska imo shiyez zan et ota bat kach v'kach shanim, lo yomar harishon im tavo leveiti azunena, el molich mezonotel lamakom shihi sham ima, וכן לא יאמרו שניהם, הרי אנו זנין אותה כאחד, אלא אחד זנה ואחד נותן לה דמי מזונות. Suppose this couple later divorces, during the period that the husband committed to provide for her daughter, and the woman remarries, and her second husband makes the same commitment to provide her daughter with mizonot for a certain number of years. Even though the first husband no longer lives in the same home as his wife's daughter, his commitment remains in place, and he must bring her mizonot to her new home. The two men, the ex-husband and the second husband, may not split the cost of the mezonot. Since each one agreed individually to provide her with mezonot, each must supply the full amount. One of them gives actual food, and the other gives the equivalent value in money. Halacha yudchet. Nisei tabat b'toch zman zeh, habal chaya b'mezonotea, uvalei imash nehem kol echad mehen noten la d'mei mezonot. Meitu elu shepasku la zunota, im kanu miyadan, o shechiev atzmo bishtar, harei zo kevalat chov bishtar, v'torevet mezonotea minichsei hanam shubadin ad sof hazman shepasku. V'im pasku bishat hakidushin v'lo haya sham kinyan, harei hein dvarim shelo nitnu likatev, v'eina torevet b'mezonotea. If the daughter herself marries during the time that both men, the mother's husband and ex-husband, are committed to providing her with mezonot, then the daughter's husband provides her with mezonot, as is his Torah obligation toward his wife, and both of the older men provide her with a monetary equivalent instead. If one or both of them dies during the years of their commitment to provide mezonot, may the daughter collect from the nechasim mishubadim of their estates? The Rambam writes that this may only be done if the commitment was made with a kinyan or with a shtar. But if the commitment was made only through amira, just before kiddushin, without a shtar, then the daughter may not collect her mezonot from nechasim mishubadim. The Magid Mishnah understands the Rambam to mean that without a shtar, she cannot take land from buyers who purchased the mortgaged property, but she may collect from nechasim b'nei chorin, any land remaining in the estate of the father or stepfather upon his death. As we'll see in Hilchot Malve Velove, collection of nechasim mishubadim from buyers always requires written documentation. However, collecting a debt which has not yet come due, like in our case, from the estate of a debtor after his death, does not require a shtar, because it is assumed that a debt is never paid before it comes due.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.